Some of it you gon' like, some of it you ain't. Tired of hearing fools complaining in barber chairs and beauty shops.
This is Truth Brothers Radio.
That's more like it.
If you're not listening to the Truth Brothers,
this is Truth.
Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202.
And as always, you guys know you can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net. Truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
All right. And I'm standing by in the chat room for your questions and comments on tonight's subject, which is gun control.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to just tell y'all right now, I'm going to try to get through this tonight.
All right, and before we even get to that, right before, I want to give send out my condolences, because this is the recent incident that I remember was Sandy Hook joint, and I don't want to say a joint like that, but the Sandy Hook situation. I want to give it out to all the families who had to deal with that, and those who were affected by that, because that, if you got a soul or a conscience or anything, you didn't even have to have a kid that went to that school, but you felt something.
Yeah, that's right.
I know. I literally was like, I was speechless for a while, and that's rare for me, but I literally was speechless for a while because I couldn't believe somebody had did it. I mean, It's wrong when anybody gets shot and killed or whatever like that, but kids, man, little babies. And, I mean, I'm just not taking away from the teachers and everybody that died that day, but
those kids, I
was speechless. And being it so close to the holidays for those who, you know, indulge and such, but still, the people that were talking about, and the parents that did come on the screen were saying that all I kept hearing was that, you know, we did this for our child for Christmas and he won't be able to see this. That's all I kept hearing. And it's just, it hurt me. It hurt me deep. And I was like, we going to be real. I know we got to get into this, but I got to speak, man. If your life funky, take your own damn life. Don't go out and snatching other people, especially innocent people who ain't got nothing to do with why your life is funky, bro. If your life is messed up or whatever the case may be, take your own joint. But you don't have to take out no children, man. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to leave it at that, and then we can get back into the subject.
No, totally agree with you, man. I mean, it was just so shocking, man, and it caught everybody by such surprise, man, because, man, stuff like that, man, is just unconscionable. It's just flat-out unconscionable, man, to have something like that happen. And then, you know, I was hearing some people who wanted to put up the defense or try to make the argument that America don't care about certain people, because once you've seen that the way they covered these kids and the way that they don't handle other shootings, just shows you that they don't care, man. I totally disagree with that, man. That dude went in there and just shot up a whole bunch of kids in a school, in an elementary school, man. If that was any school, whether it was black, white, Latino, Japanese, Chinese, whatever, man, that would shock anybody in this country, anybody of good conscience in this country. And to try to hold that up to anything else, man, the whole thing, when that came out, man, you wanted to grab your babies, man, because you just empathize and feel for what those poor people had to go through, man.
Yeah,
no doubt.
It's not
absolutely
right.
Absolutely terrible.
And I love the speech that the president gave. Let me ask
that
you guys this.
That broke me. Oh, my God.
Well, let me ask you guys this, and everybody else, 818-514-1202. With his pledge that this has to stop and we have to start dealing with gun control, how confident are you in our new Congress that they're going to get some type of legislation out there?
I'm slightly, but the legislation part, I'm thinking there's going to be a lot of loopholes or something inside of that that people will be able to either sleaze their way through. Let me just say that.
Yeah, he did put the onus back on them, and you know, given in light of when it happened, how it happened, and how soon he made this pledge. I don't know. I think he's going to be in a position where he's going to really hold their feet to the fire, them as well as the public, to really get the, because it's outrageous. Here at home in Chicago alone,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's absolute pandemonium. 506 deaths we had last year, which is up 16% from the year before.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't seem like, you know, they're really putting the emphasis on where this is stemming, you know, what this stems from. After I got over the hurt and the pain, you know, of what those parents had to go through, I actually tried to wrap my mind around what could have possessed him to do something like that. 20-year-old kid, you shot your father, your mother, and then all these students and adults. I mean, do you guys think that it could possibly be for notoriety of some sort somewhere
no.
in his life? He's lacking somewhere.
No, not for him. No, he whatever was wrong with him, he snapped. But he was already off balance to begin with.
I heard
that. Yeah, he was already off balance to begin with, and that's not just saying that just because you might have a mental condition that you're prone to go shoot up something. Matter of fact, if the statistics bear itself out, you'll find out people with Down syndrome or any type of mental imbalance, no matter what it is, are less likely to go grab a gun and do something crazy than any other type of American. So for him, he just decided to snap. But here's the part that gets me: the mother, who was a survivalist, a prepper, because she called herself collecting guns and prepping for the end of the world.
Right.
One of the things she used to do to be close to her son, they would go out to a shooting range together. So
yeah.
Why would you teach somebody who's mentally unbalanced to begin with how to shoot a gun? Y'all can't go bowling? Y'all can't go bowling to be close. You got to go shoot a gun.
I mean,
that's what
to me, I believe that, you know, with those legislations or whatever these stricter gun laws that they're going to pass, I mean, does it really matter? Because people are going to still...
Yes, it matters.
I mean, people are going to still give... There are some gun laws now that still that idiots can still get their hands on guns anyway.
Okay, true, but just because that's possible don't mean you don't strengthen the law. I'm tired of this false premise about it doesn't matter because it's going to happen anyway. Look, people get hit by cars every day. We still got traffic lights.
Yeah. I mean, I understand.
There's people who will take a car and run through a crowd of people, but that don't stop you from having a speed limit. Yes, you need gun control laws.
You need
an assault weapons ban, for sure.
And I get that, but I understand that you have to make stronger law, but that's my whole point in itself. Even though you have those laws, and I get what you have to do in order for people to understand that, yo, we're taking this seriously. I get that whole premise. I get everything behind that. It's just, to me, you get tired of, like, okay, it almost gives the people a sense of, okay, we're putting laws out here to stop something, and the more that they see it happening, they're like, well, you're not doing nothing anyway. And it's going to come back to the person who supposedly created the law or started to get an effect anyway.
Okay, you lost me on that one. Say that one again.
Okay. What I mean is, say you strengthen this law. You say, hey, we gotta make tougher gun control laws. And I'm with that, and I understand why you have to do it. Like you said, I got the whole analogy behind, hey, the traffic lights, people still getting hit by cars or whatever. But at the same time, when you strengthen those laws, because when you do that, you're doing that to make people feel safe. In my opinion, you're doing it to make people feel safer about the guns that's already out here. Then people tend to buy into a certain hype, as in, okay, he strengthened the gun laws, then that must mean that we won't see another killing. Some people, I'm not saying all, we won't see a mass rise in killings. But if you see a steady rate in those killings with tougher gun laws, that's going to fall back into the back on the person who initiated the gun laws in the first place.
What you mean it's going to fall back on them? What are we going to do? Oh, I
understand
what
he's saying. That it's one
as
of those
in,
things
okay,
where you're damned
you
damned if you do, you damned if you don't.
Right.
But you're not damned if you do or damned if you don't.
Check it out.
Last year, 2012, we've had 10,000 shootings and murders in this country from gun violence. 10,000. Australia had 2. Japan had 6. We had 10,000.
You think that's
back in the 1990s, there was a mass killing at a school. In Australia, where the dude had killed, I think it was like 12 kids, their legislature got out tough, stricter gun laws and gun controls 12 days after that because they gave a damn. They didn't let some lobby come in and control their politicians. Their politicians got off their dump and they enacted a stricter gun law. Now, when they enacted the stricter gun law, the first thing they did is have one of the gun buyback things. So where they had bought back as many guns as they can, and then they melted them all down. Then they elicited their gun control laws. And their murder rate from guns dropped by 50% to where it was 2.
Okay.
At the end of 2012.
You said this is Australia?
So, this is Australia. So if they're able to enact stricter gun laws and apply some common sense, why can't we?
You know,
the Japanese have always had a lower murder rate than us by guns. But they play just as many video games as we do, and they love pilot movies just like we do.
Go ahead, Candy.
What's up with us?
Well, see, that's what I wanted to get into. You know, that's what
mm-hmm.
That was one of the points I was going to bring up. The video games?
See, I don't think it's the games per se. I think it's more of what I don't want to say taught. I think it's the culture and the lifestyle that people are pushing out to our kids and people who don't have the knowledge of
mm-hmm.
of guns in general. My personal opinion,
with you.
I think that it's we let the NRA do certain things. But like I said, in Australia, they don't have the same culture that we have. In Asia or China, as you said, the same culture.
What's different about their culture than ours? It's the same Western-based culture. Their colonizers was our colonizers. What was the difference? Violent. They wiped out the Aborigines just like we wiped out the Indians. So what's the difference?
I mean, to me, I'm basing off what I see. This is what I'm saying about what I see. I don't see the things I see here and how we. It even goes back to me. It goes back to even schooling. It goes back to everything. And it's like our schools are different from especially over there in China. As you said, we saw a YouTube clip where the dude slapped the dude out the chair for messing around in school. We get up and
we talking about Japan.
We glorify guns. We glorify guns in every facet imaginable. Like you said, you got your NRA. You have people who will sit, die, and defend for their gun. We love our gun. Obama's not going to take my gun. We are totally consumed in that thought. And it doesn't help your music videos. And I'm sorry, I do feel like the video games are very relevant. Because kids are killing kids without any type of regard. You know, and when they go to jail, they got this video BS swagger. Yeah, I go to jail. I don't give, you know, this, that, and the other. I'm trying not to cuss. But, you know, they have this F the world mentality. And I really think that a part of that is subliminal from these video games, from these movies, where people pull out a gun, you know, turn it sideways at you to look cool and all this other stuff. We glorify guns.
Culture. That's part of what I meant by the culture.
Right, but that culture you're talking about is still exported across the world to other countries as well.
I think it's as glorified as it is here.
It's just as glorified in Europe. Japan loves the stuff as much as we do. They play every bit as much.
I think they like
to
profit off of it more than they actually like to.
No, that's a business person. That's not a kid, though. No, that's a business person. That's not a kid. They consume as much video games and as much movies as we do. That's a fact.
That's consuming something and glorifying something is two different things
to
me. I can take something in.
They're still pushing it out.
I can take something in, but I don't have to glorify it. I don't have to say this is how I live my life. I can listen to Lil Wayne, but I don't want to live Lil Wayne's life. Versus people in Asia can say, yeah, I like Lil Wayne's lyrics. I don't want his life. Versus you got people here who actually want to live that man's life.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by glorifying it. We emulate those things. They'll do it, but they won't emulate it.
Excellent point. I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and take a break. Yep, and we will be back with more Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Brothers Radio.
Hey kids, Saturday mornings, skip the cartoons and head to some real live Saturday safety fun at Ammunition with Derek the Dodo.
Hey kids!
Yeah!
You see kids, guns aren't the problem. You know what the problem is. Anti-gun zealots.
Yeah, lefty scum.
Real men don't own a gun. They own five or more. Make sure your daddy's a real man.
Yeah!
Ammunition and Derek the Dodo have been proudly bringing gun safety to your community for over 30 years. Ammunition, protecting your kids' rights.
Ammunition!
Being here in America doesn't make you an American. Being born here in America doesn't make you an American. Life birth made you American. You wouldn't need any legislation. You wouldn't need any amendments to the Constitution. I don't see any American dream. I see an American nightmare. I'm one of the 42 million black people who are victims of America.
Hard truth soldiering, hard truth soldier shit, keep on serving them.
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio, and we're back. And Devon, that was an excellent point that you had just made there. Like that a lot, man. So you trying to say that for some reason we just want to embody the embody violence and we just are attracted to stupidity?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I believe that. To my core, man. I mean, that it just seems to me, like I said, it's going off what I see and what I hear, and I mean, through all medias, you get that sense. I mean, through even your Facebooks, your Instagrams, all you see is people emulating in this country. Let me scratch that. Not only in this country, but since I live here, I have to speak for here. I
That's all I see is people emulating the wrong thing, and glorifying. We glorify stupidity. So I mean, but we all want to feel bad when something. We all want to feel bad and feel hurt when something stupid happens, and then ask this idiotic question of why. But you won't open your eyes to seeing what's going on around you.
Right.
I mean, hold on, you just played that Ammunition. I can tell you right now, that came from that Grand Theft Auto game. The one that glorified the black brother going through hood, shooting up people, and the way you win is you take over other gang areas, and people will actually go to their high school talking about that game like it was a good thing that y'all got to do.
Yep.
And then you get that false of muscle or whatever behind you, and now you want to emulate that.
And I want to bring up a point on that, Devon. I've been off for the last 2 weeks for my job as well, so I had a true vacation.
Right.
And while I was off, you know, my child called me old. Yeah, okay, I'll take that. So to try to get hip and try to figure out what's going on and things in the music world and, you know, stuff like that, try to, you know, see eye level with her, you know, I'm watching some things, and sure enough, one of those commercials came on. I think it was a Grand Theft Auto or something similar to it. But this was right at the prime time where most kids are watching television. So I'm saying all that to say a lot of this stuff is just constantly being infiltrated in our kids' heads,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make us mm-hmm. make them think guns are cool. They don't think about, okay, you shoot somebody, they're dead. They don't come back.
Exactly.
You don't hit
There's
the reset
no extra
button.
Man or extra life when you kill
right.
somebody.
Right, you don't have
it's
an extra
like
life. No, it's not like that at all. And I think they show more casualties than they do show consequences about what happens and that people kill people with guns.
Right, right. Now, as you were saying that, and Devon, as you was talking about that stupidity thing, man, you're dead on point. You guys, check this out. The new NRA talking point, banning assault weapons is just like racial discrimination.
Of course it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. former National Rifle Association President Marion Hammer compared a proposal by Senator Dianne Feinstein to ban assault weapons to racial discrimination. According to Hammer, banning people and things because the way they look went out a long time ago. But here they are again. The color of a gun, that's the way it looks, just bad politics. Hammer's comparison. Yeah. Hammer's comparison came during a discussion on NRA News about Feinstein's plans to introduce legislation to ban assault weapons during the new Congress. Hammer warned that the United States government could engage in firearm confiscation in order to control the masses. This is the former head of the NRA that said that completely idiotic crap.
Scary.
Yeah, and this is the counterattack that they're going to do as the Congress tries to put some legislation through. This is part of the logic that they're going to use to try to torpedo this thing. This dude goes in there and shoots up a school full of kids, and the NRA has no problems with that whatsoever. They says that this is just the price of your freedom. See, this is the difference, Devon. To me, this is the difference. In Australia, they didn't say the price of your freedom is to let your kids get shot up so people can have guns. Japan never went for it from the get-go.
Right.
Here, they are willing to make the argument, yeah, okay, your kids got shot up, but, hey, we don't want to infringe on some hunters, so therefore your kids going to just have to live with the specter of bullets. And they figured to fix the thing that they would rather arm teachers. Now, how many of your teachers can you remember in your past that you would want holding an assault rifle?
Yep. Soon as little Johnny called a teacher a B one too many times.
Right.
I mean, yeah, how about your nice elderly teacher, the one who taught you how to read, when something jumps off? Do you want her? Do you want her pulling out an AK to defend you?
Bad eyesight and all? No, absolutely. I totally agree with that. Like, when I heard that whole, well, you know, if the teachers would have been armed, the Sandy Hook situation wouldn't have been as drastic. I'm like, for real? You don't think it's been twice as worse?
Yes, sir.
Like, instead of one dude firing, you got 43 teachers all with pistols, and they all shooting, some of them with not good aim, some of them who's not been trained, because a dude who went in there shooting kids, he wasn't the best at what he do. So you mean to tell me you're going to arm six teachers with the same thing who, again, wouldn't have? Yeah, nah. A lot of those kids would have been shot, more kids would have been shot, in my personal opinion.
Let's break something up, because this is Truth Brothers Radio, and we can apply something called logic here. I'm going to use the Colorado shooting as an example for this exercise, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're in the theater. You're watching. You're trying to watch Dark Knight. You there with your girl. It's a packed theater because this is opening night and everybody's having a good time. This fool walked in, threw gas grenades. Now gas and mist is floating through the theater now, and then he starts popping people. Everybody is trying to get out of the building. Now here you go, Joe NRA, Captain Freedom, defender of the week. Say, oh, my God, this guy is shooting people. So now you're going to get up in the movie theater without your .44 Magnum, and you're going to shoot this guy. How are you going to shoot this guy through the tear gas and through the people running back and forth trying to get out of the theater?
Right.
Add on to the fact when Officer Friendly gets the call that there is a shooting at the theater, and the officers go to try to stop the shooting, you and this dude is duking it out mano a mano. How does the cop know that you Captain Freedom, defender of the week, and don't shoot you?
Yeah. Great point.
So great now point. you want to throw in the school shooting. Let me tell you. Let me hit y'all to a dude. This is Congressman Louis Gohmert of Texas. This is the point. When I read you this, this is the point to why you don't want to elect somebody who's not smarter than you. You want to elect leaders who are smarter than you, and you should always consider yourself pretty intelligent. So you want to vote for somebody smarter than you. Let me tell you about Louis Gohmert. Check this out. This is his quote that he had on Fox News when he was talking about the shooting. He said, they chose this place because they know no one would be armed. Gohmert argued that the mass slaying would have definitely gone different if the Sandy Hook principal would have been armed. Chris, I swear to God, if she had an M4 in her office locked up somewhere when she heard the gunfire, she pulls it out, takes him out, takes his head off before he could kill those precious kids, Gohmert said. So his whole argument is, man, if somebody would have had a gun, if someone would have been armed, that would have quickly stopped the killing because, hey, someone armed could have stopped him. Didn't stop the mama because the mama was armed. The mama had arms in the house. Didn't stop him from grabbing the gun and knocking her off and then going to the school.
Uh-huh.
Matter of fact, Columbine, few people know this, but when Columbine jumped off, there was an armed security guard there who did have a shootout with one of the kids. Unfortunately, he got hit.
Yeah.
Police officers. If a police officer is going to a robbery at a beauty salon and he sees the gunman there holding the women down, with the gun, he's been trained not to go into that building. He's going to cordon off the perimeter and call SWAT because of the potential hostage situation. That's how the police officer's been trained.
Uh-huh.
Now check this out. We got a caller. Let's go ahead and get to the caller. 661, you're on with the Truth Brothers. Who's this?
Hey, what's up? It's Joe Nichol. How you doing?
Hey, what's happening, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Yeah, hey, I'm listening to this, and one thing I want to mention is this. Whenever there's a tragic event, there seems to be this a big backlash against it. But the thing that concerns me more than anything else is the ability of folks to give away their liberties in the aftermath of tragic events. And so rather than reacting, I say take a deep breath, because at the end of the day, there are just random events that happen that you cannot do anything about.
Yeah.
Ooh.
All right.
Check this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you. Hold on.
Point with
yeah.
that.
I'm gonna put you back on in a minute, Joe. Hold on. I wanna tip y'all to something real quick. The assault ban is just banned. The assault ban that was enacted in the '90s banned high capacity clips, and you know, you don't need 30, 50 round clips. That's not stopping a hunter from going hunting. People went hunting in the '90s. People are going hunting today. You only need three shells to try to take a deer, because if you miss the deer with the first shot, you're assed out. The deer is gone.
Right.
So I'm not talking about infringing on hunters. You don't need a Bushmaster M4 to take out. You don't need a Bushmaster M4 to go hunting, because you're not making venison jerky.
Right.
Now, here's my thing. You, when this idiot got on a plane and tried to light his shoe on fire, we all had to take our damn shoes off just to go through the airport. When some fool tried to light his baby bottle on fire, now you can't take your coat onto the plane before you take off. A couple of dudes took out a building, and all of a sudden we going through high-capacity X-ray scanners and the Patriot Act, so on and so forth. A lot of right-wing jokers love to tell you that it's time to curtail your freedom when it's something like that. But when it's something on this side, and we're saying, hey, let's just ban 50-round clips and fix it so that people can't shoot off 30 rounds in 10 seconds, I don't consider that as imposing on someone's freedom. And I think that's a common-sense, deep-breath approach. Joe, you back on. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I just, again, you know, this country's bad like that. You know, I just say take a deep breath and really, really look at what you're doing here. Because a lot of times the solutions are worse than the problem, since they affect more people. So my thing is just, again, take a deep breath, because the Patriot Act was the worst thing that ever happened. We are never going to be able to get out from under that. You know, but again, that's a reaction to 9/11. And in fact,
right.
It's so funny.
Right.
We had two wars in reaction to 9/11. One, I can't even see the justification for it, but the whole point
Absolutely.
Is when people get emotional,
Absolutely.
This is what happens. So all I'm saying is take a deep breath and look at the problem and try and find a solution for it that's not emotional backlash. That's all I'm saying.
No doubt. I feel you on that. And I just believe that, to me, somebody, you can own a Beretta. You just don't need a 20-round extended clip in order to shoot it. I think that's kind of rational. I don't believe that Obama wants to take anybody's guns, but when you have certain people like Mike Huckabee, who claims that, you know, this all happened because we turned from God instead of addressing the fact that it shouldn't be so easy to get an assault rifle, that's the irrationality in the whole situation, to me, is coming from people on the right like that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, you know what, let's cut this back a little bit. You know, a 10-round clip is more than enough for you to be able to defend your home with.
Well,
so I don't see that being as irrational.
Yeah, the issue is not even assault rifles so much as the way that you can acquire them. See, I don't know where you guys
are. Exactly.
Yeah, I live in a world.
No, right. I feel you on that. But before you say exactly, see, those assault rifles, they're flooding the streets of Chicago right now. So you live in a rural area. We live in the concrete jungle, and it's kids and everybody who are getting these things because.
Hold on now. I grew up in New York. I was born and raised in New York, so I know about the concrete jungle, all right? And I'm telling you, though, the issue is not so much the assault rifles, but the way you get them. Because right now, if you buy a gun at a gun show, it's considered person to person, and it's not being tracked. That's the problem. All right.
Yep.
So
they're doing it
If it was sold through a store, then you have to fill out the paperwork to get it. But right now, if you go to a gun show, in fact, I don't know if you've ever been to a gun show. Have you ever been to one?
I've been to one, yeah.
All right. So, in fact, if you ever watch that show that deals with the Son of Guns, the Red Jacket Firearms, they're right down the street from me. And let me tell you, right, when you go to these gun shows, you can buy all the pieces to make your gun fully automatic from the different vendors there, even though it's illegal to buy a fully automatic weapon. You can literally just go from table to table and see all of that is not tracked.
Pieces, wow.
Yes, right. And so all of that is not tracked. And that's the problem. Anybody from Chicago can come down to Mississippi or Arkansas or Louisiana and buy as many weapons as they want because they're considered person-to-person sales and take them right back to Chicago. Now, if they had to get
them. And you don't have the waiting period either. Yep.
Right. There you go. No background check and no waiting period. So my thing is, before we go about banning all this, let's close the loopholes first and then work on the banning. But until as long as you have the loopholes, you're going to have guns. Whether
That was my initial statement when I started the conversation, when I had said people are going to find a loophole to whatever gun law they pass. In my opinion, when you asked us, you know, do you think it's going to really have a major effect? I just feel like people are going to always find a loophole or a way around to get around that law. So that's why
go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
No, I was finished. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, man, but the way you were saying that at the time, it sounded like you were saying, well, it's no sense in trying to get another gun law because people are going to find a loophole around it. And that's just not floating with me.
You got to get them brothers in Chicago to chill out. Because regardless of if you take away every gun on the planet, they'll be stabbing each other to death.
I'd rather them stabbing each other than shooting, because at least they can't hit the person that they're not stabbing at. Because when they're shooting, when these kids are shooting, they're not trained. They're not hitting the person that they're shooting at. They're hitting everybody else because they don't know what the hell they're doing.
And again, I'm with you on that because I grew up in the hood. But at the end of the day, it's a mentality that's there that has to be changed. Whether they're using clubs, whether they're using guns, or whether they're using knives. And what we're doing is we're putting all these things together in one basket and saying, well, if we just get rid of these assault weapons, that'll be the solving of our problems. And that's not the case at all. And I don't want to do that, because what's going to happen is folks are going to say, okay, we're going to get rid of assault weapons. And then they're going to still be killing each other. And they're going to look at you and say, now what? So all I'm saying is you have to address the problem from both ends. If the Chicago has a problem.
Let me ask you, Joe. I'm sorry, Joe. Let me ask you really quick. What do you think is the nucleus of this problem?
The nucleus of this problem?
Your personal opinion.
In my personal opinion, I think it's a breakdown of the black family, period, and end of story.
I think it's lack of opportunities.
Like
people don't think there's an end, so they feel like they're stuck into a situation of this is all I have. I feel it's a lack of opportunity and a lack of I don't even want to say promise. I want to say just for lack of a better word, I think it's a lack of a better future. They think that this is it.
Okay. Now, Joe said it was the breakdown of the black family. You said it was the lack of opportunity. I think it goes much deeper than that because, you know, the dude that shot up the theater in Colorado wasn't black. So the breakdown of the black family had no effect on him whatsoever. This thing goes much deeper to what we're supposedly believe in as a nation. And you've got a whole industry out there of people who make guns, push guns, who don't want to see this thing slow down. The NRA works for gun manufacturers. Now, they're not really looking out for Joe Hunter or somebody who wants to hunt, but they're using these talking points and they're using this stuff to just keep making and flooding these guns out there, because there's gun manufacturers who's making a mint off of this, and they don't care about kids in Chicago, kids in Sandy Hook. They don't care about Colorado. They don't care if you're black, you white. They just want their stuff out there. And to me, that's part of the problem. Cutting off a lot of these lobbyists would be a good point for what you were saying, Joe, about having a rational conversation. It's hard to have a rational conversation when you got somebody with some money in the background grabbing your congressman who's supposed to be representing you saying, hey, man, I'm going to go ahead and put $10,000 in your campaign fund. Make sure that this thing dies in Congress. That's part of the problem. I don't want to take a gun away from you. Not at all. And I don't want to take a gun away from a responsible person. If I want a gun and I've been trained, I've been in the Marines, I know how to handle myself with a weapon. I just choose not to have one because I don't want one. But if I want one, I know I can be responsible. But at the same time, I don't want kids in Chicago to go to a gun show in Ohio and just start racking up on guns because they don't have a criminal record and they can flood the streets with the stuff. I don't want mentally unbalanced people to go to a gun show and be able to get something without some type of background check, without some type of medical check. And when I was in the Marines, they didn't have 50-round clips. And we was fighting wars and kicking ass with that, too. So you don't need a 50-round clip to defend yourself.
I mean, that, and I believe that. I think that an assault rifle is crazy to me. Like, we was joking about it. We don't need a bazooka to kill a deer. And we was making that joke a while back.
Exactly.
But when I said that, I meant, like, you're right. You don't need an assault rifle to kill a deer. I'm watching hunting shows where they're using bows and arrows and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you really feel like you need an AK-47 to go out and start killing deers if that's what you're into? See, that simple logic right there doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
Well,
and
it's
then
not
you
even
got
about killing deers. It's you know, for the people I know that do own those weapons, they just enjoy having them for whatever reason. Now, I can't figure out why. You know,
right.
It makes no sense to
me.
You know,
Joe, bro.
Ooh, you know,
bro, I don't know, man.
You know, look,
you got,
I was at
somebody's
house. Yeah, they were letting off in their backyard, man. And I'm looking at this dude like, yo, you know, we're firing automatic weapons in your backyard. He's like, yeah, don't worry about it. I own 40 acres back there. You ain't going to hit anything that's not supposed to be killed, right? And I'm looking at this dude. Now I'm from New York, man. I never could even conceive. Standing in the dude's on his back porch firing off rounds like it's nothing. He had a whole array of weapons. And I'm looking at him like, what kind of war are you starting, you know? But
there you
that's
go.
The mentality
there you
of
go.
A lot of folks out there. You know, that's their mentality. And in fact, it's so funny because they never say it, but these folks are preparing for war. They're preparing
for
war.
That's what I was about to get at. That's exactly what I was about to get at, instead of they just like to have them. That's a bunch of bull, because a lot of these people are call themselves preparing to go to war with their government. A lot of people out here do not like the fact that they have a black president, and now they got a black president twice, and they still upset. Governor Jan Brewer of Arizona, Tony Fingers Heffer, who pointed her fingers at my president, was the main one who was talking about, hey, you know what, we're going to go ahead and do our best to unseat President Obama and try to straighten out this Congress. But if that doesn't work, then maybe we might have to exercise our Second Amendment remedy.
Well, then again, I mean, I don't think it's strictly about Obama, though. I think people are just...
No, it's about their government. They believe that they can take on their government. Let me tell you something. You can have an AK-47 in your basement, or you can be like that idiot who ambushed the Sikh temple up there in Wisconsin. You can ambush some civilians, and you think you are bad tough. You can go to your training up there in Upper Peninsula around Wisconsin and think you're doing something. If you think that you can take on the United States military like this was 1764, you are out of your mind.
But I mean, I can't. I mean,
against the government, so get over it.
Nah, it
and
ain't
a lot of them,
to me though. People have, like, if you give them that amendment to bear their arms, at the same time, they have a right to defend us. Like, if the government comes in your house and they want to defend their house, I have no problem with that. I'm going to be honest.
Dude,
Okay, I
have no problem with them if the government is coming in your house. If they enable
the
martial
government?
Law and the government comes in your house and they
the
say
government?
We're taking this,
well,
and you, if you and they
wait,
say that we're taking this, I have no problem with them standing up against the government because the government isn't always in your best interest. In my opinion, it's not always in your best interest. Therefore, I don't have a problem with them if the government decides that, all right, we're just going to flip the script and now we're going to do what we want to do on towards you, if it happens. If.
That happens
right.
More
Timothy McVeigh had that same type of attitude. He was worried about the government. What did he do? What did Timothy McVeigh do?
It went in now.
What
did you say? Go ahead.
Said Timothy McVeigh had the same attitude you were just purveying about the government, in quotes, the government. What did he do? The militias up there in Wisconsin.
My phone is not, but I'm going. Go ahead and finish your statement. My phone's going in and out, man.
I got you. The militias up there in the Upper Peninsula around Wisconsin and Michigan who call themselves preparing for war, preparing for the government. Do you think they're preparing for the government to look out for you? A lot of them, they call themselves coming after the government, don't come after you. Now, I'm not saying the government is all angels and cupcakes. Of course not. But at the same time, the government that they're talking about, the government that they're talking about is the same government that came around to make sure that one little schoolgirl could go to school in Arkansas.
You think, okay, now.
Hold on. Look. I just went through Hurricane Isaac, right? And so this just past summer, Hurricane Isaac comes, and they put an announcement on TV that during Hurricane Isaac, the city I'm in, Baton Rouge, was under martial law, okay? Now check this out, martial law. Now, none of you probably ever experienced martial law, and I hope you never do. They said you have to be off the streets by 9 p.m., period,
yeah.
End of story. Unless you were emergency service personnel, you had to be off the streets at 9 p.m. That means no excuses, nothing. You went right to jail if you were on the streets after 9 p.m. No questions asked, no Miranda, you went right to jail. And they had Humvees and Army set up all around town to enforce this martial law. So all I'm saying to you is you'd be surprised how close it is to a situation where the government will take over or knock on your door and say, we got to take it. During Katrina, people had their supplies taken from them by soldiers. So all I'm saying is it's closer than you think.
So when they operated martial law and they did that stuff, when they lifted the martial law, what happened?
Everything went away, went back to normal.
Everything. So nobody lost nothing.
No, but it's just what's scary is just
but
in one day,
I mean,
literally.
Right. So okay, let me ask you this: if I Joe, you're the president of our Neckbone Land, you're the president, and go and you get hit by a 7.2 magnitude earthquake that wrecked your capital city. There's panic in the streets, and it's going down. Do you implement martial law?
Sure you do. But what if there's no panic in the streets?
Okay, but I mean, I'm just saying. Sometimes you have to implement martial law to do what's best for a mass population.
Do you think that people who implement martial law, do you think they use it and don't abuse it?
But what he just said as an example of martial law was the government trying to look out for the masses of the people in that area and do what's best. Nobody got killed. Nobody got their houses taken away. No one went into anyone's basement and took all their guns. When they lifted martial law, everything went right back to where it was. That's all I'm saying. When those people who was in Hurricane Katrina in the Superdome wish that the government had issued martial law and went in the Superdome and straightened some of that mess out that was going on in there. That was a total abandonment of government, and those results were far dire than what Joe went through martial law. So I'm just saying,
and even
you just
then,
have to look at the
saying?
Mentality. You have to look at the mentality of the people that you have in office at the time. I'm not saying that the government is all peaches and creams, again, But at the same time, you still have to look out for the best interests of your people. And sometimes leadership has to make hard calls, and martial law is a hard call to make.
Okay. Now, given that what you just said, I get that. I feel what you're saying. But at the same time, you got to look at the state that the people are in and like, okay, there's no need for this. At some point, like if there's no need for martial law, why are you calling martial law?
Devon, when Superstorm Sandy just hit, did the government implement martial law?
No, they did not.
Because they determined that it wasn't necessary.
Hold on,
they might have
rocked out of
America, but it ain't martial law. No, it ain't martial law.
In certain points, they did. In Breezy Point, they did.
But then there you go.
Okay, so why?
Right. So he said that they did. Like, again,
who did it? Because they was locking down a particular area for a particular reason. Again, the people in the Superdome wish that the government would have issued martial law.
That's an instance where I'm like, okay, I agree with you. In the parts of the Superdome and them stories that we heard after Katrina, yeah, in that state, I absolutely agree that to an extent, they did lock that city down. They were arresting people
who
were going out
to
get food for their families.
Right. No, they cordoned it off, and then the police wasn't acting under no direction. Bush and Brownie totally turned that back, and there was no command and control element there at all. So you had rogue people doing rogue things. That's totally different.
Exactly.
So let me ask you fellas a question.
Exactly. Like Joe just including the soldiers. That's my point. That's my whole point. You had even
the whole point is an argument for martial law then, because I just told you, and there was no command and control there.
Okay, if the soldiers are going rogue too, even if you implement martial law, the people who are supposed to come in and say, okay, this is how stuff is supposed to go now, you can't tell me that they won't even go about. Like, I don't believe, I don't have a lot of faith in the government, just in general. I don't. I don't believe that majority of the time they
have
the best interest
in
heart.
I don't have a lot of faith in the NRA. I have less faith than the NRA and a lot of these militias out here. I have totally less faith than that.
Yeah, but
I feel
what
you said about the government.
Goes,
I feel you.
Yeah, but the whole thing goes
brings
to
me
protecting
to a point.
Yourself.
Look, that brings me to a point. Now, if for some reason our president has to implement martial law, okay, we have all these right-wingers and gun lobbyists who are for defending people having their arms. Now, you implement martial law, and the moment a soldier comes to your door, says, hey, eminent domain, we have to come in, we have to infiltrate, we got to do this, that, and the other, with gun laws as they are right now, where will that leave us? I think something like that can turn totally tragic. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I do.
And, you know, I think that goes back to what Joe was saying. I think people are mentally preparing themselves for a war of sorts. Come in and defend and protect their gun and their so-called rights. They don't. A lot of people in this nation do not like being told what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Do not like it. Now, you have to pay your taxes. That's something you have to do. Otherwise, you're going to go to jail. But when it comes down to your gun, their peace of mind, what they deem as their freedom, and, you know, a lot of people here in America are fearful. We are fearful of everything, every single thing. And we hide behind six bullets to make us feel more empowered.
And to add on to what Candace is saying, I believe people are just, not only are they fearful, they're frustrated. And you're not going to frustrate me and then come back and take what's mine.
If the National Guard is coming to take Devon's gun, what are you going to do?
I'm not even just taking my gun. I mean, if National Guard said they can take your house, they can take your cars. They can take your phones. They can take your credit cards. They can take your bank accounts. National Martial Law, they can take all of that.
They're not going to last too long.
You already scrapping and saving to do just to keep your head steady in this economy as is. And you would implement something. Now you're going to take everything that I've struggled to keep? No. No. For what reason?
And they won't fight you for it.
Yes. Even though they'll lose, they know they're going to lose. Their attitude
right. They will still do it. That's that back against the wall mentality.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is American, my friend. That is American, period. Plain and simple.
Boom. I totally agree. I totally agree.
It's just
right.
Yeah, it's just,
so
you know,
believe
I think the whole idea.
You believe the NRA is the vanguard of freedom.
Mm,
no, the NRA.
I don't think anybody
the
said
NRA.
That.
No, absolutely not.
I don't think anybody said that. But I do believe.
No, these
I do
are,
believe
these
that
are the ones
you had something that was written in the Constitution.
Yes, that's
belonging to.
That
was written
but,
in the Constitution over 300 years ago that people want to uphold.
Right,
yes,
that's belonging. That's a whole fallacy in its own self.
On the Second
that,
Amendment.
The Second
but
Amendment,
it's still
right,
to this day.
No, it's not. It's actually, but it's being magnified by a bunch of people on the Supreme Court who are kings instead of actual judges, and they get to just override. They just get to override the law and common sense or whatever, because a well-regulated militia, which is your Second Amendment right, is a well-regulated militia. That's your National Guard, actually. Sorry. That's the truth.
In the words, it's well-regulated. It's being misinterpreted. People feel the right that the Second Amendment, a right to them, is for the right for them to bear arms here in this great nation.
And to me, there's nothing wrong with a commonsensical approach to say, okay, yes, you can bear arms. If you want a sawed-off shotgun, have at it. If you want a Beretta 9mm, have at it. You don't need a Bushmaster with a 50-round clip. You want to defend your home. You want to defend yourself. There you go.
Okay. Well, then why don't we start with banning gun shows?
But you know what though?
Well,
if you really
I think that's something Joe Negron don't want right there.
No. What I'm saying is, if you really want to change gun laws in this country, there's only one thing you need to do, and that is start registering brothers with concealed carry permits. I guarantee you, they will change every law in every state. Once they see that happen, I totally agree with you.
We're going to take a quick break, though, and get ready to go into this big third hour. Joe, stay on with us. We're going to go ahead and take this quick break and get it cracking in the third hour, Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken wraps?
Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, fresh dressing, wrapped up in a tasty lava tortilla. Crispy chicken, wrapped up in a...
The new chicken snack wraps. Come and get it at Burger King.
Going into the third hour of Truth Brothers. How does it feel, y'all? Joe hit on something important. You wanna see your Second Amendment rights change, go get you a conceal and carry. And you go get you a gun and start talking like the NRA and start talking like some of these militias and watch it change. Because the NRA was totally silent when they were disarming the Panther Party or when they were breaking black revolutionaries. They were stopping that stuff right now. They have no problem with gang violence because we just killing each other. But if you organize and holding down your own community like some of the militias do up north and some of these crazy crackers down south, watch everything change.
Racist,
all right. History will repeat itself.
Yeah. No,
that's not racist. That's true. You got people down south in Mississippi and Alabama who believe that, hey, this whole thing, we just waiting for the second round of the Civil War. And they organizing like that. Just calling it like it is.
Okay.
Check this out. There's a WorldNet Daily columnist named Bradley Dean who suggested that the mass shootings in our Newtown, Connecticut was staged in order for the passage of the UN Arms Trade Treaty and gun control legislation, comparing the administration's purported actions to that of the Nazis resetting the Reichstag fire. Through WorldNet Daily often publishes conspiratorial stories like Dean's column. He said Sandy Hook occurred just days after Senator Rand Paul sent out an alert that the UN was set to pass the final version of the Small Arms Treaty supported by Obama the day after the election. Part of the treaty was to ban trade and sale and ownership of semi-automatic weapons like the one Adam Lanza used to kill 20 children and 6 adults. The Batman shooting in Colorado also happened to coincide with the same timeline as the negotiation of the UN Small Arms Treaty. The timing is impeccable. That's what this idiot is saying. That he let that happen. These innocent people that let these children get killed to pass something that was going to pass anyway in the UN.
Okay, now again, I totally understand you. That's stupid. That is stupid.
WorldNet Daily, man. Oh, my God. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, how anybody can even really take that stuff seriously is beyond me. But, you know, there was a cartoon the other day, you know, and these guys foster this whole belief that the government messes everything up, the government does no good, while they drive on safe highways, you know, you're looking at pictures from Mars and all that stuff. You know, so in order for a lot of this stuff to work, there has to be a boogeyman. All right. In order for a lot of this stuff to have credence, there has to be a boogeyman. And that boogeyman will change from the government to black people or specifically to thug black people because they got, you know, those posters of hoodie dudes and all that, you know, that they're shooting at. You know, there always has to be a boogeyman for that agenda to go forth. And there's always a gullible person that'll believe it. I don't know why, but, you know, whatever. But that's the crux of the whole Republican argument, though. There always has to be a boogeyman. There always has to be somebody that's stealing from you, cheating you out of
Or want to take something from you. Who want to come and take your house. No. In the case of certain disasters, I'm sorry, man. Sometimes martial law or a curfew or something is necessary to maintain command and control while you get everything reset. I watch what the government does after they left everything or how they conduct themselves during it. Now, what they're doing over there in Syria, totally foul. That's a foul government. Your government here, more stupid than absolutely foul, but they are capable of doing foul things. You do have to watch them. There's nothing wrong with being vigilant. But, again, like Joe was saying, I believe you have to use logic, and you have to use a little bit of common sense, step back and try to see the bigger picture of things.
Yeah, it's just that historically, tragic events always are taken over by folks with an agenda. And
yep.
they push mm-hmm. their agenda in the aftermath of those tragic events. I don't
yeah.
care what you look at in history. And that's all I'm saying. You know, take a step back, take a deep breath. Let's take a really, you know, unbiased look at this and put together some legislation that's not a knee-jerk reaction. I just hate to see, you know, when folks that do have an agenda, because at the end of the day, even martial law, you know, those that have an agenda are the ones who call the power, and they'll manipulate the power to their end. And
uh-huh.
it happens time and time again. So, yeah, my only thought is just, hey, let's breathe a little, and then we can deal with the tragedy. But let's not just be
right.
too hasty about it.
Right. So let me ask you guys this. How confident, again, how, do you feel that some type of legislation for gun control is going to get passed through the Congress?
Well,
I feel like
in wake of the incidents with the Sandy Hook shooting, your public's going to be calling for it. And they're going to be looking
yeah.
for something to be done about it. But I also feel what Devon's and Joe's saying is true, too. There's going to be loopholes in it. But something may be done, you know, to put a Band-Aid on the situation as it stands right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how we follow through with it as a country, I can't honestly say at this point in time.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like I said, something will be done. You have to. The thing is, something will get passed, but will it, in the long term, like with in the long term, will it benefit you? I think it's going to be an agenda behind whatever they pass, and
yeah,
it's going to be
for
their benefit anyway.
That's with anything, though. That don't mean that the agenda is supposedly sinister for you, but that's with anything. If I put a legislation in, I'm going to have an agenda behind it.
But your agenda should be the well-being of your people, though.
I'm just saying, though, any type of intelligent legislation don't have an agenda behind it. It's just to say agenda is just to say the conspiracy thing.
I think there will be some form of a conspiracy behind it. That's what I believe that it's going to be something that they can make sure that if anything happens, they can weasel a way out of it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be totally for the protection of the people. I think a part of it is going to be okay, make them feel safe. I think it was maybe Candace said, put a Band-Aid on the situation just for now. It's going to be a short-term heal. And then when something else happens, it's just going to be okay. We'll do something else again. You're going to get spoon fed.
Right.
We
get another Republican president.
Out.
It's going right back to basics.
Right.
Look at what the conversation just flowed through the past hour. We all couldn't agree on one thing. You just sat there and said you don't want the government coming to take nothing, or you don't trust them. So therefore, that someone who's going to try to build something to please you is going to have a loophole in it for you to feel comfortable anyway. That loophole might be to the dissatisfaction of somebody who wants to ban assault weapons or something. So you can't please all of the people all of the time. I'm sure in Australia when they banned assault weapons and guns and collected a bunch of them through a buyback, not just showing up and snatching stuff. Through a buyback and then melted them down, I'm sure a lot of people with conspiracy theorists was out there saying that wasn't right. But again, they got a murder rate, gun violence of 2. We've got 10,000. So
yeah.
There's got to be a happy medium in there somewhere.
But that's my thing is, will their medium be for the benefit of the people or for the benefit of themselves? That's my question. That's what
It'll
I'm asking.
It'll be for the benefit of the lobbyists.
I don't think nothing that they pass will really be for the benefit of the people. That's what I'm saying. I think it will help some people. I think it's going to help some people, but in the long run, they can give a damn. That's what I'm saying. That's my point that I'm making. I don't think that it's going to really, if whatever they pass is going to be, it's going to. Whatever they do is going to help somebody in some way, form, or fashion. I get that. But it's not going to be the intent
of helping us, so to speak. That's just what I believe.
Who is us?
People, the general public. I don't think it's going to be in that area, so to speak.
Joe?
Again, it's all opinion.
Yeah, I just want to take a look, see what's going to happen. You know, there's a whole lot of rhetoric being thrown around, and there's a whole lot of folks trying to shine their star on this kind of thing. So, you know, when the dust settles, I really want to see how it's going to go down. If it's going to be anything like the health care, then we in trouble. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I would like to see something pass, but I just don't want to see I don't want to see a prelude to infringing on folks' rights. That's what I don't want.
Right.
I don't need, in other words,
well,
I don't need another.
I don't believe. I think that true solutions aren't pretty. I think there's some old school politicians who used to believe that, you know what, I passed some good legislation. If everyone is mad at me, then I know, if nobody's happy, then I know I passed something good. That used to be old school. That used to be old school thinking, that if I pass something and everybody's mad about it, then I must have passed something good if nobody's happy. If somebody's happy, then someone's going to be mad, and no one, and they're going to say that it's not good. I don't believe that any law is going to, somebody is going to be mad in this. Somebody's going to going to get infringed on a little bit. I just believe in what it should be. If we can cut, when they passed the weapons of assault ban in the 90s, mass killings were down. When Bush let it expire, this thing has just exploded. Five years. We've had all these shootings since Obama been in office, and he's just like, man, that's enough. So
yeah, but you know what?
What rights are you willing to let get infringed on so that these little kids don't have to get shot up?
All right. Well, but again, you know, when they passed the assault ban, there was also funding for mental health, which got cut significantly in the Bush administration, too.
No doubt.
You know, yeah, so let's put it all together here. You know, and,
right,
and then, you know, like, yeah.
But as you put it together, statistical fact, mentally ill people don't go out and do mass killings on any significant level other than so-called regular Americans. This thing is totally random. This past dude who shot up the school, yeah, he was definitely labeled unbalanced. It was clinically proven he was unbalanced. This Joker dude is mentally unbalanced, no doubt. I feel you on that. That sucker who jumped the streets wasn't. The dude who just shot up the tavern or the mall over there in Denver wasn't. And then there was no medical record showing that he was, you know, cuckoo or whatever. So, again, just saying that, okay, well, the crazy people shouldn't, okay, yeah, no doubt. But right now, I could be mentally insane. I could have a certification that says he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but I can go to a gun show and go pick up some semi-automatics that ain't nobody going to check out nothing.
Right.
So I think reasonable people can conclude that, yeah, if you want to go to a gun show and you want to buy three Bushmasters, no problem. You don't have to get it right then and there. You might just have to wait for a background check. But if you pass a background check, no problem. How is that unreasonable? If I say you can have a Bushmaster, but damn it, you can't have a 50-round clip. You got to have a 17-round clip. How is that unreasonable?
No, there. Now that part again, there's no argument for me there. I am
again. That's your government infringing on your rights, because right now you can get a 50-round clip. Right now you can get a 50-round clip. So the government is going to have to infringe on your rights in order to come up with something different than what we're doing now. Again, the government infringed on your rights when they said, "Hey, man, you can't ride this motorcycle without a helmet." Well, certain states, because that's not a federal law. But certain states said, you know what, if you want to drive this car, you got to have insurance.
But you know what?
I'm infringing on your rights.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, you know, when you talk about these 50-year-old clips, if you really, I think, and I don't have the stats in front of me. I wish I did. I think if you really take a look at it, more people are probably killed by police with 15-round clips than people with these 50-round clips. And remember, when police had 32s, there was only 6 shots. So, I mean, you know.
But, I mean, I don't want to say apples and oranges there, but I feel what you're saying.
That happened in Illinois. How many of them was about 50-round clips?
It don't, man, does that really matter? We just did it. We did gun control. We did gun control last year when we had Terry Small going. When we did that promotional video for the show, we showed a picture of kids on the block holding a damn machine gun. Does it matter if it's a 50-round clip or a 20-round clip? A kid shouldn't be holding a machine gun.
I understand that. A kid shouldn't hold a gun, period. I give you that, but that's what I'm saying.
Does it matter if he's holding a 50 or 100-round clip? Dude, dude who shot Gabriel Gifford had 2 50-round clips in his gun, and he spurted them all off in a matter of minutes. They just saying, If we cut down the time, because all these fools are doing, and Joe, I think you'll agree with me on this one, these people aren't trained. They're just going in there and squeezing the trigger and just letting it off.
So they're
saying the logic is if we say you can only have a 17-round clip, that means when you go and just squeeze, you're shooting 17 rounds off in a matter of like 3 seconds. You're going to be out and have to change. If you have to change, that gives more time for people to get out or somebody to tackle this dude and deal with him. But if he's got a 100-round clip, that's just more carnage he can spread. Trust me, I'm a Marine. I can take a 17-round clip and get busy with it, but I'm trained. And I also know if I got something and I'm going to make it fully automatic and I'm lighting up a 50-round clip, all I'm doing is heating up my muzzle. I'm going to end up melting my muzzle, and it ain't going to be no good for nothing. I'm not doing any real damage with the thing after that. But when you just massively just don't care who you hitting, it don't matter.
Well, you know, now that you're talking about this, I was just thinking back to an article I read on Slate, and the writer was saying that it's not the size of the clips that mattered in a lot of these things. It's the fact that these dudes are wearing body armor, too.
Yeah, well, the dude who did Gabriel Gifford didn't have body armor. The dude who did, the Batman shooter did. And I think this fool did. I think.
Yes, he did.
I think
he
this
did.
Fool
yeah.
did. But the dude who just did the bar, who just did the mall in Denver, he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So we just saying.
So if you're going to do it,
did Virginia Tech didn't.
Yeah, if you're going to do it, I say go for the body armor, too. Because how are you going to take a guy down, even if he has a 10-round clip, if he's wearing body armor, and you're not?
Well, again, I make the logic for if you got your Glock 9 and you at the show and Batman shooter come in, if you think you're going to have a gun battle with him with tear gas and people trying to get out, and you're not trying to get your family out of there, I think it's something wrong with you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't believe it anyway. Like, you know, that whole what's that whole Wyatt Earp mentality? You know, when I moved down south, I saw a lot of dudes with that, they actually believe, truly believe that, you know, when something breaks out, that they're gonna be Dirty Harry. I mean, you know,
right.
You know, I look at them, I'm like, man, you know, you are so far from it, because when something breaks out, you're going to be so scared, or you're going to be looking for yours, you're not even going to be thinking about, you know, pulling out your pants and being, you know, hero of the day. You know, but, and that's all a fallacy. But for home defense, yeah. And I've always said, you know, again, don't peg me as a assault weapons person or a lover or anything, because I'm not. Again, I grew up in New York. We did our work with baseball bats, all right? We got up close and personal, look you in the eye kind of thing, you know? And so, you know, moving down south, man, it was a real big change for me, you know? But
right.
I do know, though, for home defense, having a gun is the greatest thing on the planet, because by the time when something breaks out, by the time the cops get there, you know, it's all over. But But in terms of just being a man on the street, you know, carrying your pistol, no.
Yeah.
You know, because like you said, you know, the cops come, they don't know who's who, and everybody gets put down.
That's right. I'll tell you something else, man. Just people in the military, people in war, most people who get into their first firefight in war desiccates themselves.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Most people who get in their first firefight in war desiccates themselves. So you ain't never shot nothing but a piece of paper on a target at a gun range, and you sitting there in the show when this Batman shooter came in there. If you really think that you finna sit here and have a mano-a-mano shootout with him, there's something wrong with you. I mean, me, myself,
yeah,
I want to get my wife and my family out of there.
Yeah.
That would be my first thought. I want to get them out of there. I want to get them safe. And then, like we were just saying, okay, so what if you want to have the mano-a-mano shootout with the dude, and you're black, and you going with the Joker dude, and the police come in there, who you think they shooting first?
Yeah,
I see that point.
You're talking about the police. Canvas, how many black detectives who are undercover get shot by their fellow officers because they're black running around with the gun trying to stop the real bad guy? That happens a lot.
Yeah, I don't think nobody really will argue you down on that. I think everybody understands. For the most part, you got a valid point for what you're saying. I mean, to me, I don't own a gun. I never felt the need to have to get one. I always thought a gun was a coward's way out to me. Again, that was my opinion. So I really don't understand the need to pick up one in the first place. That's really my whole MO when it comes to the gun violence. I don't understand the need for people to pick up one. I think that's something that needs to be addressed as well. So why do people feel the need that they have to?
I like talking about
people defending their homes and everything like that. That part I get. But why do you feel like these kids feel the need that they have to pick up a gun?
Because they don't know how to throw down with their hands. And a gun makes you cool. Here's the problem. We fall into such trends, and I think this is what you were going back to saying about the specific society, Devon. We fall into all these trends, and we put ourselves in a box, and we stereotype ourselves. When Boys in the Hood came out, the whole thing was about not killing and what this do to you and how violence begets violence. And how the only one who came out of that intact was the one who didn't kill anybody, which was Trey. And he said, this ain't me. He got out that car because he didn't want it coming back on him. But the movie was so hot, and everybody, oh, it's Ice Cube. Oh, it's this. The first thing black movie makers saw was, oh, man, it's gang violence. We can do that. And the next thing came out was Menace, which was totally contrary to Boys in the Hood. And Old Dog was a hero. Mm-hmm. And he was a maggot. He was a maggot to your community. And people felt almost as bad for Old Dog than they did for the other dude who was digging dirt too.
Yeah.
It's like we are so quick to give up our moral compass about things, and instead of saying, you know, there's a time that, hey, you know what, if we at a bar and we get into it, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, man, you know what, this ain't worth it, and trying to walk away. I'm not saying turn your back on the dude, but just back away and say, you know what, this ain't worth it, man, and walk away. They're trying to make it where it's not feasible to do anymore. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but, you know, part of that is because we live in a society that celebrates hyper-masculinity, too. And so,
yeah.
You know, all that plays into it, you know.
And that might be the difference, again, Devon, like you were saying, on why Japan or Australia, who eats up as many violent films as we do, who play as many violent video games as we do, but don't seem to have the murder rate that we do, comes into play. Because, like you say, we're hyper-emasculated. At the same time, we're feminized by the same culture.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So you don't know how to vet that out.
Yeah, again, I agree with that, and I mean it goes into that and the fact that we glorify the wrong things. I think all of that comes into play when it comes to that. Just you know, why? That's the question. Why?
Yep, and that's the no. I guess we'll never know.
818-514-1202. Anybody else want to jump in? You see, we kept Joe Neckbone, and we ain't gonna let him go, man. We glad you hung out with us on our first day back out, man. So anybody else want to join in? You know, the door is open. Come on in.
But,
yeah.
Do you really? I mean, like you were saying about Asia and all the other. I mean, all the other places that. Play the eats as many video games and the violent movies as we do. Do you, with that being the case, do you think that that's the reason there are so many gun related deaths here? Is because of the video games and because of the movies, or is it because we're pushed to believe that that's the way to resolve an issue in a cool way?
I believe
conflict resolution is a coward's way out, but to handle your business with a weapon is the quote unquote cool way to resolve a situation.
Right.
Can I say something to that real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Or were you asking? You were asking Joe that question.
No, that was just a general question to all who would answer.
Go ahead, Kay.
Okay. Well, what I think is, I think we live in a very subliminal nation. Our whole existence, for the most part, in the last 20th century, has revolved around what we see. You turn on that idiot box, and whatever it speaks, we go along with the program. You have these graphic designers, you have media moguls who basically tailor-make a culture and thrive on youth, you know, to praise these things, to praise these games, you know, that are out here. I'm on Facebook sometimes, not very often, but sometimes. I'm in my 30s, and I see grown people in my same age group talking about, oh, man, this game. What's the latest game? Casualties of War or something like that. Something with war.
Not games, Modern Day Warfare.
Yeah, that thing. You know, so it's games like that. It's all getting these people, because you ever really watch a kid with a video game, one that they are so engrossed in? I mean, they are in it because they feel like they're living it.
Yeah.
At the same time,
when I say that, I look at it like, okay, when I was younger and I grew up, when I was growing up, I loved those. I mean, I love those type of games or whatever the case may be. But at the same time, when I saw it, I saw the graphic. I saw the design behind it. I didn't see so much the violence, which propelled me to want to pursue a career in game design. I think it's something that has to go along with that. As far as, okay, you can play this game, it's fine, it's whatever, but at the same time, there has to be some sort of something else, because, again, I can only speak for me, and I can speak for, you know, my little nephew or whatever the case may be. Like, we will play a game, but in one sense, when we play a game like that, there's no humans being killed. If you see it, it's like monsters or whatever the case may be, which is, some people would say it's the same thing. It may be a thin line between that, but in my case, like I said, when I was growing up and I played those games and I was like, okay, yeah, this is cool, blah, 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 my brain went to, I wonder how just because I pressed this button, it makes that happen on the TV. That's what I saw.
Right.
Or if
okay.
I move this way, how come that goes like that? And how come when the wind hits that, it make that's, again, that's what my brain saw, and it made me want to pursue that thing. Now, the question I would ask is, if I had not played those games, would I be so attracted to graphic design art, attracted to game design, attracted to computer animation the way that I am?
Right.
So, in a sense, it kind of opened the door, and in a sense, I can see how it can be detrimental as well. But I don't think that it causes some form of a reaction, but I don't think it's as big as it's presented to be, if that makes sense to you.
Okay, no, I guess I can respect that. I guess I can respect that. But,
yeah,
you know, I'm looking at today's
Yeah, no, let's get the last break in. We're going to do this quick break, and then we're going to come back and I'll round this whole thing out.
And I got to run, guys. Yeah, I got to
run. Okay, man.
All right, bro.
Good talking to y'all.
And, yeah. We're going to take one more quick break. This will be the last break, and then we're going to round this off. I'll be on out. True Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
I'm fearless, now hear this, I'm earless, and I'm peerless. That means I'm eyeless, which means I'm tearless, which means my iris resides where my ears is, which means I'm blinded, but I'ma find it. I can feel its nearness, but I'm a veer, so I don't come near like a chicken or a deer. But I remember I'm not a listener or a seer, so my windshield smear. Here you steer, I really shouldn't be behind this, clearly cause my blindness.
Truth Brothers Radio.
What's great about the iPhone is that if you want to know where your ex-girlfriend is at any moment, there's an app for that. Or if you want to check her personal calendar so you can accidentally run into her and give her a chance to take you back, there's an app for that. And if you want to set up automatic late-night calls so she knows you're always thinking about her, well, there's an app for that. And if you need an attorney with a proven record of fighting restraining orders, there's an app for that. But if the judge can't appreciate your love for her and you're required by state law to move on, there's an app for that. And if you need to buy a car with enough horsepower to drive off a cliff so that she comes to your funeral and gives a eulogy about what a great guy you were, and then breaks down and cries as she realizes that no other man will ever make her as happy as you did, and that now she's destined to die a lonely old cat lady because she was too stupid to see what she had when it was right in front of her. Yeah, there's an app for that too. That's the iPhone, solving life's dilemmas, one app at a time.
I totally understand what Devon was getting at as far as it building and germinating your appreciation for artistic creativity. I just feel that now we live in a, you know, our kids are very impressionable, and you know they mimic everything that they see. And going back to the guns, I feel like America feels more empowered standing behind a gun. And I think a lot of our kids are looking for a sense of power. You know, they're still young. They're coming into their own. They're impressionable. And not saying that, you know, all video games are the evil for the things that go on
right.
in our streets. But I don't think they help the situations either, music either. You
yeah.
know, movies. You know, I happen to watch a couple of movies on the Black Stars Network. And one thing I noticed that was very similar in the movies that I watched, that, you know, we all have this certain attitude, this certain tone, this certain stereotype about how we always got to be so hard in order to get respect or to be respected. You know, and back to what Ray was saying, we don't fight with fists anymore. You know,
mm-hmm.
everything is about, you know, knuckle, I'll blow your head off. You know, that type of mentality. And,
uh-huh.
you know, it just gets all mushed up and convoluted into our kids thinking that this is how you have to be to survive in these, quote-unquote, in these streets.
Definitely.
You know, and so that's more or less what I think, you know, media, the stuff they just push in your face. I was watching throughout this Christmas season, you know, in the stores, you know, how they were highlighting these games, these video games. And you see all the young teenage boys over there all in, demoing the games, you know, talking smack with their buddies, cursing, high-fiving, you know, because, you know, it's fun to them. And, you know, maybe their intention is not to, you know, kill somebody, but subliminally, you know, this creeps into your psyche. You have that young boy who may love this video game. Young, dorky boy, you know, gets good grades in school, is being harassed,
you're doing the same.
You know, by some older kid. You know, and he may take those frustrations out on that video game. Boy, if this was such and such, I would do this to him. And, you know, subliminally, you know, not, I don't necessarily mean that in a corny way. But
right.
I think it's relevant. I do think it's relevant. They get caught up in the sense of fallacy. And I don't think they really, truly understand the severity of these things that they're doing.
Right. Right. Now, here's my thing. Check this out. You know, the whole video game culture and all of that, I think it's just one piece to the puzzle. But here's
mm-hmm.
something that I find really, really ironic. A lot of young surgeons now, man, they say that the young surgeons now got a thing up on the older surgeons because when they're doing all of this remote operations and stuff by fiber optics, their hands are so nimble from playing video games all this time that they have a one up on the older doctors with this new technology. That's kind of cool. In the same respect, there is a job right now in the United States Air Force where there's people who get up in the morning, they drive out to the base, they go inside this hangar, and they sit in this chair, and they fly drone strikes, and it's just like playing a video game. And they will fly the drone from where they are in California, fly the thing out, fly it all the way over to Afghanistan, and drop a bomb on a village, killing kids and everything. And he don't get to see what he's doing because he's looking at it on the screen just like a video game.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't know. It's you know, I mean, I understand what your point and what you're saying. It just seems like there's really no right answer. It's like we are way too far in.
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
my point. I mean, it's
change one way or another.
Right, it's that tough. And, you know, the question of show us who to blame. We're all to blame as far as I'm concerned because, you know, like Joe McBone was saying about infringing on someone's right. Sometimes they told you with the Patriot Act. They told you with all this terrorism stuff that sometimes you have to give up a little freedom in order to gain security against some people who don't care about you. But we won't give up a little bit of our freedom with these guns, and we don't want to give up a little bit of our freedom in order to make sure that, you know, things like the Sandy Hook thing don't happen no more. And I believe it's possible for the stuff not to happen no more because I'm sure that the laws that they enacted in Australia aren't perfect. I'm sure it's loopholes to it, but it still cut their gun violence murder rate down a damn near nothing. And I think it's worth it.
Did you see before it got down to just two in that year? What was it prior to that? Did you see
in the hundreds.
You know, a trend? Or,
in the hundreds. In the hundreds.
So a year before that, or was this years before?
No, years before that. Right. It was in the hundreds or whatever. And then they had a mass killing at a school, and they just wasn't gonna stand for it. And their leaders had got up and took care of stuff. I mean, there's other governments with other leaders who have other agendas who do things, and they seem to be able to get stuff done. Other countries can get universal health care. And they got agendas, and they got lobbyists, and they get kickbacks, and all the same things. But they seem to be able to get more stuff done than we can get here. So why
that's
is
that? What I'm saying. That would be the ultimate question as to why. Why can't if that's the case, and why can all we can learn what these other countries are doing and what they're getting accomplished or whatever, but we can't get it done here. And you can't tell me that we're not watching and not seeing and not looking at these things, because trust me, if me, you, and Candace know it, I'm sure they do. So why?
I think it just comes down to profit too.
I mean, are we to a point where we're supposed to believe that our country is that naive that they don't see what other people are doing to make things better for their country? Because we can't.
I think Candace said that this is a country addicted to stupid. And I think she got a point.
No doubt.
I mean, it's just something funny to me. And the reason why I said I think a good portion of it has to do with profit. Smith & Wesson, they make guns.
Yep.
But they also make the handcuffs for prisoners. If you ever really study a pair of for real, not the zip ties, but those for real handcuffs, the metal handcuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
not the ones that you get at the store to play with after dark. The real ones.
Right.
Not
yeah,
the fuzzy cuffs.
Yeah. No, the like ones. The for real metal joints. That, you know, something like that just, you know, as a matter of fact, someone had a friend of mine actually had made that comparison to me, you know, had made that known to me. And I said, huh, one that had been incarcerated before. I said, wow. I mean, it's just those things that really make you think.
Yeah, at the same time, they purposely make them uncomfortable, so when the cops slap them on you, they mean for it to be uncomfortable and hurt you. Why?
Yeah, it's not used for restraint no more. It's to keep them, so keep you bound so you can't get that taser juice out you. That's all that is.
Man.
I remember a story a while back about the guy who they say he was handcuffed and he shot himself in the back of a police car. And for the life of me, I'm like, if he's handcuffed, which means if you're handcuffed, you've been searched. If you've been searched, where did you get the gun, and how did you shoot yourself in the back of a police car?
Yes.
But, again, this country, which is loves the way that we run things, gave you a great answer. He was a magician. That was the answer. No joke. One of the answers was the guy was a magician and had the gun in a spot where the police officer couldn't find it. Okay, well, explain the handcuffs that he still had on him.
Right, if he's a magician. He David Brandon out there. How come he didn't get himself out the handcuffs?
Right.
I know what I'll do. Instead of getting myself out the cuffs so I can unlock the
door. That's another thing about us, about our country. We lie in a minute. We lie to fabricate things to make ourselves look better. Media does not lose a wink of sleep for lying to you, knowing what's true. Knowing
well,
how dire
you,
your circumstances
may be. I read you half of these stupid stories. I mean, just stupid comments from supposed leaders in your society. So that tells you what an honest, well, I don't want to say an honest politician, but an earnest politician really cares about, you know, what's going on. I mean, Diane Feinstein, she was able to get the assault badge weapon in the 90s, and that was her first time around in Congress. And Matter of fact, when she said that she wanted to do it, Joe Biden, our vice president, told her, oh, that ain't going to happen. I know you knew around here. But she was able to make it happen. She was able to make it happen.
Yeah.
When you got people, like Mike Huckabee, ridiculous behind, who said, he said this, check this out. I'm not suggesting by any stretch that if we had prayers in school regularly, I'm sorry, as we once did, that this wouldn't have happened, because you can't have that kind of cause and effect, Huckabee said. We've created an atmosphere in this country where the only time you want to invoke God's name is after a tragedy. Huckabee went on to praise Barack Obama for quoting the Bible in his Sunday speech. But he said, I think it's important that we quit apologizing for having a spiritual conversation in this country. Huckabee continued, quit being ashamed that we believe in God. This is his answer to the situation. But where was he when the dude jumped the seats in Wisconsin? Because they were going to praise God, and my man jumped them. Where was Huckabee with that? Oh, that's right. They wasn't Christian, so it don't matter.
There you go.
It doesn't matter. That's right.
That's the difference. Your Christ don't float.
Exactly.
But it astounds me, the stupid rhetoric these people will come up with.
In a sense, can't you see why that in itself? Can't you see why people are frustrated though? All together, like, come on. Never just watch the TV, watch CNN, watch Fox News, watch MSNBC, and say, okay, you can't be that stupid. If you can sit down and say, look, I'm not the smartest person in the world.
And that's the thing that insults me. They think we're that stupid.
Yeah.
And
they'll
on TV, they won't bat an eye and will feed you that garbage. Won't bat an eye. Your Bill O'Reilly, your Rush Limbaughs, they will feed you that crap.
Yep.
And then you got some people who just shake their heads and say, yep, that's right.
Yep.
That's right.
Nisha Williams just checked in. How you doing, Nisha? Yeah, she's waving to us now. She said, I think the main reason why things work out in other countries as opposed to America is because most other countries are overpopulated. Now, this is something that gets me. Check this out. In Chicago, city of, what is it, like 2.7 million people. We had a murder rate by guns this year of over 500. What was it, 532, Candace? You had quoted earlier.
506.
Yeah.
506. There you go. And this is a city of 2.7 million. New York had a gun violence record of 432. That's a city of 8 million people.
Mm-hmm.
8 million people. And yet they were able to control themselves. 8 million.
Four times as many people.
There you go. And we wilding out over here. And then, like I said, man, when you get to countries, she said that they're not overpopulated, so she's repairing it. But still, China is overpopulated, and they got a lower gun murder rate than we have. So what's up with that?
Do you think the same amount of guns that are shipped to China that shipped here?
Do you think
they can get the same amount of guns? I'm curious, just a question. Do you think they can get the same amount of guns as China that they can get over here in the States?
No, because their country regulates gun control.
Yeah, so your rate is going to be lower. And, I mean, the question that we've been asking is, if we get this regulation, will it cut down on the gun violence? I believe it has to, because you're going to eliminate some guns from getting in here. So even if I had 10 guns coming in.
The guns ain't getting in here. They're made here.
I'm using it as a reference. I'm not saying.
Okay.
There you go.
Right.
So, if I had 10 and I say, okay, cool, the regulation or whatever is that we take out, if I took out three, you're going to still cut down on the killings. No matter, even if they pass the law or whatever, you're still going to see a slight dip in the killings altogether.
which is fine. I mean, I get that. I'm just saying that the whatever they pass, I'm hoping for the best. I really am. I'm hoping that I'm hoping that it's done so that another Sandy Hook situation don't happen. Because if that's the case, I got a kid that's going to school, and I don't want to even have the idea of something like that happening to their school.
But
because nobody in Connecticut thought it was going to happen there.
And
so who's to say it's going to happen here?
And see, that day I worked for a school bus company. That day we got infiltrated with phone calls. And even my staff there too. You know, everybody was worried with this situation. You know, at the time when I first learned about it, I was sitting with my coworkers, and we were all watching television when the breaking news happened. You know, some people got up, they started, you know, calling their family, you know, calling the schools, make sure their kids are okay. You know, we live in a state of fear here over everything. We fear the friends our kids hang out with. We fear letting them go too far from us. We fear letting them go around the corner. We get calls from, if the school bus doesn't come exactly at the same time, we're scared, oh, something must have happened. You know, my kid didn't get here when they should have. You know, something must have gone wrong. You know, we stay in this state of fear. And, you know, and it's sad that we have to endure these things. You know, but I'm really hoping that something can be done to really control this. Like Joe was saying with the whole conceal and carry thing, you know, to register for it. I totally agree with that. If you want to go to a gun show, you have to have a thorough background check. Then if you want to have your person-to-person check, hey, fine.
Yeah, no problem. I believe that. I believe that. Matter of fact, I mean, you should have. To me, yes, you have a Second Amendment right to bear arms, but that also means you have a Second Amendment responsibility to be responsible with them.
True.
So you should have to jump through a whole lot of hoops to show that you're a responsible, mature adult. And that you're going to handle, that you're going to take your right and be responsible with it. You also got the right to have free speech, but that right doesn't mean that you can yell fire in a movie theater. In other words, it means you can't use your speech irresponsibly to cause a panic or hurt.
Right. Right.
So why don't you have that same responsibility with your right to bear arms? Sure, you have the right to bear arms, but so if you want to invoke your right to bear arms, you should have 40 hours training and before you're able to get a gun license to bear arms. And when you exercise your right, you should have to register that weapon. You should have to be responsible for the tracking of that weapon. You just can't say, oops, my house got robbed and I lost it. Or you can't do that. It should be able to be tracked. They're starting to come out with biosignatures for weapons where the weapon will only fire under certain fingerprints. So
you know, and
that's
funny. I tried to ask that question earlier on in the show.
Yeah.
I surely
that's
did.
Real.
I didn't know there was such a technology as yet.
That technology was being highlighted in the last James Bond movie, but that technology is real. It's being developed right now. That there'll be certain weapons where it will only fire and activate towards the gun owner's fingerprint. But then some people are going to have a problem with that because they're going to say, well, my house was getting robbed and the robber was beating me so my wife couldn't grab the gun to shoot it. They'll come up with some excuse for why we shouldn't have that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something else. It really is. But definitely one of those things that make you go,
So what's the solution then? Because that would be my
first off, complex problems. The first thing we got to learn is complex problems don't have simple solutions. So we're looking at something complex, and that means that yes, it could be loopholes in it. It's not going to be a perfect solution, but we have to do something other than what we're doing right now by just accepting it. by just saying, oh, well, there's nothing we could do. We only make laws, and the bad people just ignore the laws and get more guns. I'm tired of hearing that. I'm tired of hearing that. There's people who steal in cars every day, but that ain't stopping you from stopping at the stop sign. I'm tired of hearing that, man. There's going to be there's no simple pill for this. There's no simple solution for this. But we've got to be brave enough to tackle the problem like mature adults and say, hey, you know what? Yeah, to get this, yeah, some people who cherish their guns don't have to get their rights stepped on a little bit. That don't mean we come in to take all your guns, but geez, we got to do better than what we do.
Yeah, I don't think too many people will be hearing that though.
Yeah.
We this country
well,
has
already
to hear it.
Sure. Matter of fact, and you said I kind of went in hard on the crackers down there in the South or whatever. But check this out, in Alabama already, there's schools who are trying to arm teachers with weapons right now, today in Alabama. And
when you have a teacher that goes manic in the classroom because her kids won't be quiet, and she just broke up with her fiance of 10 years because of X, Y, and Z,
mm-hmm.
then what?
Right.
Then what's
well,
the
I
solution?
Wasn't even,
oh,
I
the principal needs to have a gun now in order to kill the teacher to save the students. And then what? The superintendent needs to have one to kill the principal who should have killed the teacher.
I was going to the fact that Alabama is a red state, and all the people in the red state and the right wing people said the teachers are overpaid boobs who we should be cutting their pay and cutting their pensions down. But as soon as something goes down, now you want to give the underpaid boob a gun. Make up your mind.
Right.
You were just demonizing teachers 6 months ago. Now you want to give them guns, but you're not going to want to pay them extra for the weapons training. You're not going to want to pay them hazard pay for having to have a gun.
They're going to wait for something to happen, yeah. Then say, oh, well, see, this is why we shouldn't have gave these teachers guns, but y'all feel safe with it now. They're going to use
and then
yeah,
when
they
these
would
kids
use...
15 years later go out into the world and come into their own where they've seen or they've known about all of their teachers having guns in their classroom, you're going to think it's okay to carry guns at that point in time.
Go ahead, Beth.
No, I thought you were getting ready to say something.
I was about to say. Remember when you was in school, how everybody knew how to get into the attendance lounge or the attendance room and change their attendance? Or you heard about the kids who broke into the school to change their grades? So how many of these kids who are gonna know? Hey, let's break into the school and go over to the weapons locker and break that open and take some guns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you got that substitute teacher that comes in one day, gets to lock it back, or leaves it out.
Exactly.
Or keep
right. or leave it out.
Kids
or
smart
put it in
now,
the desk.
Hell, they'll crack the code and find it, come across it.
Same difference. I mean, are we going to start building armories in the school now? Because when the military locked their guns up, they build an armory. The police have an armory. Are we going to have an armory in every school now? Is that what we're going to do?
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. You even have to entertain something like this.
It's crazy.
Before you know it, everybody's gonna have a gun. Everybody. It's gonna be required in every single profession and just in a short period of time.
Girl, out with guns.
It's just the times, man. I think it's the times we're living in. It's that people just, you feel like it's a need to have one now. I think that's where we're at. Because that's the only way they feel safe is to have guns. Since with me, I've never wanted one. I never felt the need to have one. But, you know, hey, with society the way it is, people, if you smoke them if you got them is what they saying. So
there you go. But this was our first show back, man. 3 big hours. Thank you, guys. Thanks for everybody who tuned in. And we're going to go ahead and wrap this puppy up. 3 hours was a long time, man.
First time we
We'll be back next week. We're going to be dealing with the state of hip-hop. We're going to have Minister Zen One from the Temple of Hip-Hop in. And that's going to be a lot of fun, too. So get your hip-hop knowledge on. So we're going to wrap this up.
Can't wait for
that. Yeah. So we're going to wrap this up and let you know that if you're not listening to the truth, brother,
then the truth ain't in you.
Thanks, y'all.
Can't you say it?